Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Here we read, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Amen. We'll end at verse 7. I trust that God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We'll pray together for a moment. We'll just settle our hearts now and ask the Lord to speak and pray that no one will harden their hearts tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this meeting, for the opportunity to open thy word, to listen to these challenges in song, to assemble here, to be waiting for the Lord to speak. I pray now, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased by thy Spirit to speak to us all. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. Hide me behind the cross. Let Christ be seen. May the word of the Lord be heard. And Lord, may each one of us respond in that way that is right and according to thy will. Save the lost, restore the backslidden, and bless the saints of God. We pray in the Lord's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. As you sit in this mission tonight, I wonder if you can cast your mind back to a time in your life whenever someone came and spoke a word of advice to you. Think about it. Can you think of a time whenever someone spoke to you who cared for you? A lady or a gentleman who was worried about you? And that individual loved you, and that's why that individual came to speak to you. As you remember this event, you know, you had a friend who was earnest, who came with advice. You had a friend who was anxious that you take that advice. And the advice was for your own good. Can you remember a time when someone drew alongside you with good advice? Maybe you can say, yes, and I listened to what my friend had to say. It was not the road that I intended going down. It wasn't the road that I wanted to go down, but my friend's words prevailed. You took the advice, and now, years later, you can say, I had a good friend who was right. I'm glad I had a friend like that. You've no regrets about the decision you made. And as you look back over your life, you know that accepting that advice got you out of trouble. Kept you away from all sorts of heartache and despair. And you know that if you'd gone your own way, things wouldn't have worked out just so well. I think if we're honest, we can all remember a time when a friend came alongside us with a bit of good advice that kept us out of trouble. But maybe you can also look back whenever a friend's advice was ignored. Someone pleaded with you not to go down a certain route. And that person warned you, if you persist with your own ideas, there'll be trouble to follow. Your friend was right, but you did your own thing. And you have lived to regret it. I think equally, if we're all honest, we can say, yes, there have been times when a wise person drew alongside and I just didn't take the advice. And I was foolish. Because that advice was right and I was wrong. We've all made mistakes, haven't we? We have. The question is this: have we learnt through the mistakes that we made? Would we make the same mistake all over again? You know, there is a saying, some people will never learn, and some people, unfortunately, are like that. I hope we're not like that. Could it be said of us that we are the sort who learn from our mistakes? Or not? Or not? Do we accept good advice? Or not? There are some people, and they're what we call headstrong. They just don't take good advice. Well, in the verse of Scripture we're going to consider tonight, the Lord is speaking. The words that He utters are even more important than good advice, absolutely sound advice. They are a command from Him. This command is filled with brilliant advice. The best advice you could ever get. God is giving a warning in this portion of Scripture. And He's not just seeking to keep us out of trouble. I've introduced it by speaking of a friend who would seek to keep us out of trouble. The Lord, in giving this word, is seeking to keep us out of hell. That makes it a very important word. He's seeking to direct us to heaven. And I trust that we'll all listen to these words and act upon them. And there are three simple things I want to say from this portion of Scripture that we're going to consider at the end of verse 7, where it says, "Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Three simple thoughts from this line. Number one, the timing in the verse. The timing in the verse. It says in verse 7 there, "Today." Now friends, the timing of this verse is very simple. It's for today. It's for now. Right now. And what is said here in this portion must be considered today. Now. It is not something that you should put off until another time. You know, very often in life, whenever serious matters come before us, matters that we don't like to deal with, we put them off until another day. That's the way we are. For example, I'll give you an illustration of something that I like to put off until another day. It arrives at my house every year about the same time. I know I should do it there and then, but I don't like doing it. And I put it off. It's a self-assessment tax return. I hate the things. Because they arrive. I know I have to get down to this. I have to sort this out. I should do it immediately. It's not going to go away. It has to be done. But it's a lot of hassle. I have to get out all of the receipts and all of the records and all the expenses for the previous year. I have to make sure the paperwork is in order. I have to make sure when I fill it in, it's filled in properly. It must be done properly. It's a nuisance. But it has to be done. But I never want to do it when it arrives. I've got a wee shelf in the study. It sits there for a while. in the nice wee blue plastic case. You know what it's like. Some of you get these things. And I look at it the week following and maybe even the month following. I'm going to have to do it. I have to get down to it. It has to be completed. Ignoring it will not make it go away. It'll not vanish. But I look at it and I try to put it off until another day. Maybe it's a serious matter with regard to your health and you try to put it off until another day. Maybe you're not well. You know what it's like from time to time, poor folk, when they take ill, maybe discover some abnormality. I really need to go to the doctor about that. But I'd rather not. I'll put it off. I'll see if it's still there. Maybe next week it'll have gone. And people put things off. They hope the problem will go away. It doesn't go away. We know that. We're all expert at putting off things that we should face up to. We should all know that it's not a wise thing to put off things that need to be faced up to. But the strange thing is this. We wouldn't tolerate that neglect with regard to somebody else we loved. We can neglect ourselves and the things we should do, but you wouldn't neglect somebody else. You might neglect looking after your own health, but if it was your child, you'd just whip them up. You're going to the doctor. You're coming with me right now. Look out for others, but ignore personal responsibility. Many people are like that. Do you act with urgency with regard to others and slowly with regard to the things that concern you? The issue we're talking about tonight is so important. It has to be dealt with by everyone today. Now, we are not to put it off 1 minute more. When it comes to spiritual matters, and when it comes to the salvation of your soul, it should be sorted out today. It should be sorted out now. And there is no time like the present. Don't we say that to the children when it comes to the homework? There's no time like the present. Get it done. Has to be done. Get it done. Don't put it off. Oh, we're good at preaching to others. Do things now. It's important you do it now. But when it comes to ourselves, we're neglectful and we don't do the things now that we should do now. This might be the last opportunity you'll ever have of getting saved. That's why if you're not saved today, and now is the time to do it. See, death could come to you before tomorrow. You might not even get home. If you do get home and get into bed, you might not get out of it tomorrow. You say you're only trying to scare me. It's being dramatic. Oh, no. Just being truthful. I'm speaking to Colin Null of Maxwell, our missionaries to the south, on Friday night. You know, they were telling me about a lovely wee lady down around that part of the world. And she was going to a local church hall to take some food for a funeral. It was the funeral of a friend from her church. And she went to the church hall. Now she was an elderly lady. A saved lady. And she took the sandwiches, the pastry, whatever it was, to the hall that would be there for the funeral tea. And she came out through the back door of the hall. And the wee lady tripped. And she was found maybe half an hour later. And the injuries that lady received had taken her life. She tripped over the step, they think. She died of her injuries. Going to help a family in trouble at a time of bereavement. You see, there is only one step between us and death. Oh, we all say that's right, but do we really believe it? One step. Death could come at any time. That's why you need to be saved today. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. Maybe that's why the Lord has brought you to the mission today. That you might get saved today. That you might act upon this word. Please note it doesn't say tomorrow. The Bible never speaks about getting saved tomorrow. Today and now, but no assurance and no promise of tomorrow. Today and now, I want you to think about that. It's important that gets into your heart and into your mind. But then there's the truth in the verse that is spoken of, as well as the timing. For if you look at verse 7, it says, today, if ye will hear his voice. If ye will hear his voice. I've called this the truth in the verse. This statement refers to the fact that God might be speaking to someone today, might be speaking to someone right now. Why have I entitled the point the truth in the verse? Because whenever God speaks, God always speaks truth. Always. He always speaks the truth. Titus 1 and 2, it says God cannot lie. It doesn't say he will not lie. If it said this, then we could say, it's very comforting to know that God will not lie. But it goes further than that. It says God cannot lie. That's comforting. That's comforting. Whatever God speaks is the truth. He cannot lie. He is so holy and so pure and so perfect in his holy nature, he can't lie. He'll always tell people the truth. That's amazing. You see, God speaks through his word, the Bible, and his word is truth. So what I'm saying to you tonight is the truth from God. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God's word is a book of truth. You know, it tells us we're all sinners. People don't always like to hear that, but it's the truth. Every one of us in this meeting, we're all sinners. The Bible says it. All have sinned. It's a word of truth. But the Bible says something else. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There's another great truth. We're sinners, but he came and died on the cross, shed his blood, took the wrath of God upon himself. To save us, he can save us. There's a great truth for you. But you know what? If you want to experience it, it says in Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's another great truth for you. You're a sinner. Christ came to save you. You call on the Lord with repentance over your sin and you'll be saved. That's the truth of God tonight. And could I ask you, in this meeting tonight, are you hearing God speaking? Is God speaking to you? As you sit in this meeting, have you been conscious of a voice saying, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it? Today, when you hear God's voice, do exactly what God says. I trust God will speak to you in that way. Maybe for the first time in your life, you've realized what your real need is. To listen to God and obey his word. Maybe you've heard things that have pricked your conscience. That's the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of the Lord. If you've heard the Lord speaking to you, you should be thankful. Are you thankful? I've observed people in life, you know, and they are very pleased whenever a dignitary speaks to them. A prominent person. An important person. They think that's great. I can understand that to a degree. I can remember on one occasion, it was a number of years ago now, in Newton Ards, it was in a wee picture framing shop. And my wife and I were in it. And we're getting a wee picture done for the minister's room actually in the church in Cumber. And we were speaking to the gentleman. There was only one fella in the shop. And my wife and said to me, "You may get your autograph book out." What's she talking about? You know the way women say things strange? What is she on about? And I looked round. I was standing beside George Best. He had come into the shop to get a picture as well. And being someone who loved football, I was kind of blown away and put my hand out, shook his hand. He was waiting for an operation, one of those liver ones at that time, living in Port of Oge. And I said to him, "My son's out in the car, would you mind if I went and got him? He'd like to meet you." And went out and got Andrew, and he came in and shook his hand and all the rest of it. By that stage, the man in the wee shop had locked the front door because all the kids were coming out of school, and they were all standing, about 30 of them, looking through, and there I was locked in with them, and the kids couldn't get in to get speaking to him. A man I felt very sorry for. You know, he was so ill on that occasion. He stood because I spoke to him trembling like a scared rabbit in a field. Not the great big figure that the world had seen, out playing football and enjoying the sins of the world, just a poor lost soul in a lot of trouble. But in a sense, that's a memory for me. I spoke to someone that was famous. But you know, what's that compared to being able to speak to the Lord and the Lord speaking to us? Do you ever stop and think about that? How wonderful that the great God of all creation would condescend to speak to us, would take time to talk to us, would take time to advise us and show us the way of salvation. Isn't that amazing, love, that God would have time for you and me? He does, you know. And we hear his voice. He loves us, you see, and he wants to save us. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God speaking to sinful men and women. Do you remember the introduction? A friend wanting to turn you away from making a bad mistake. A bad mistake you'd have to live with and regret all the days of your life. Well, you know, the Lord is the friend of sinners. I want you to remember that. The one we preach about in this mission is the friend of sinners, and he wants to speak to you and turn you away from making a mistake that you'll regret the rest of your life and even for all of eternity. Such is his love for you. He wants to save you from hell. And it's at times like this that God speaks to people in missions like this as the word goes forth. You know, I've met many Christians, never once did I meet one Christian who said, "I'm sorry I got saved." Never once. I've spoken to many unconverted people and said to me, "I wish I had got saved when I was younger. I wish I was saved. I wish I hadn't put it off so long. I wish I'd got saved when God was speaking to me in wee children's meetings. My life wouldn't have turned out the way it did." I've spoken to people who've said, "I wish I'd got saved years ago." But I've never spoken to one who said, "I'm sorry I got saved." Never. You see, when God speaks, it's good to listen to him and do exactly what he says. What's keeping you back from accepting the Lord tonight? Listen to his voice. Do what God says. Today, if you'll hear his voice, there's the timing in the verse, there's the truth in the verse, but look finally with me at the tragedy in the verse. It says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." You see, the tragedy of the verse here is obvious. God could be speaking the truth to somebody in Dromore right now, and that individual could be sitting on those seats, hardening his or her heart. That could be happening right now, and if it is, it's a tragedy. A tragedy. Maybe you don't like what you're hearing. Maybe there's somebody saying, "I thought that's what I would hear in a gospel mission in Dromore Free Presbyterian Church. I kind of expected that." And maybe you don't like it. Maybe you're hardening your heart. Maybe there's somebody, I do not know, who's listening and they're hardening their heart and saying, "No, I'll not be getting saved tonight." Oh, dear friend, that's a mistake. That's a tragedy. You know, these words teach us it is in the power of man to harden his heart against God. That's a serious and solemn thing. Some say, "Well, if God's all powerful,
Why should he let people harden themselves? He should save them in spite of themselves. You ever heard that? I've heard some, well, why doesn't God just save them then? But I have to point out to you, sinners have the power in their hearts to harden themselves against a loving God. They have that power. Man has power over his heart through his will, where he can refuse to yield to the tender voice of the Lord. And that's always a tragedy. That's heartbreaking. And sometimes in missions it happens, you know, where people are spoken to. And they seem to be softening. But then they turn and they harden themselves. That's a tragedy. Man has power over his heart through self-interest. He can crush those tender words from God by saying, I'm not interested in it. That's a tragedy. Man has power over his heart through his habits. Habits that can bring him into such bondage that he says, no, I'll not listen. I'll not do what you say. I'll not do what God says. Hardens the heart. He hardens his heart. So remember, man can harden his heart. Could I ask the Christians in the mission tonight, pray that sinners won't harden their hearts in this mission. Pray that God will not allow it to happen. Are you hardening your heart tonight? I hope not. It's always a terrible mistake. Terrible tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy when a Christian hardens his or her heart to the Lord's voice. It would do no harm to mention that as well. You know, sometimes when God speaks to his people, they can be out of tune with the Lord. Out of step with another brother or sister in Christ. And they harden their hearts. I'll not be changing. I'll not be listening. That's a tragedy too. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Is there somebody here tonight? With this I close. Maybe you're thinking, it's all right for the preacher. I know a professing Christian who's nothing but a hypocrite. If that's Christianity, you can keep it. You're only letting the devil harden your heart. Do not judge our Savior. Do not judge our Lord by the life of somebody else. Oh, you say that person says they're a Christian. Well, that's what they say. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. You see, the Bible says many are going to say in the judgment day, Lord, sure, we've done this, done that, and done the other in your name. And the Lord's going to say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Wouldn't it be awful if there's some soul in Dromore and you're close to the kingdom, but you're hardening your heart because of the life of somebody else, and that person might not even be saved at all. Look to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Look beyond man. Don't listen to man. And today, if God speaks to you, harden not your heart, but accept Christ into your heart and life. Let him be your Savior. And you'll never be disappointed. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, soften our hearts, and keep us close to him. Amen.